Yeah, I read the rule, and I was very surprised at kind of DHS's activities. I mean, quite honestly, it's a little bit more of the same. You know, we've talked about the need for more collaboration between the government and industry, and I hope the unintended consequences of these rules are that they do not prevent that type of collaboration. If you take a look at the rule, I mean, they have this amorphous other activities, which to me seems very undefined. And I know I'm very nervous about it, as a lot of industry colleagues are, simply because these types of rules can be interpreted as you are not allowed as a government employee to attend firm lunches, ACT-IAC lunches, NCMA functions. That hopefully will not be the case, but certainly employees who may be are on the side of caution may say, you know, I don't want to deal with any type of perceived ethical violation, so I'm not going to attend. That's the easy way out. And that would be detrimental not only to industry, but certainly for government as well, since a lot of these industry functions are very good for educating the government on best practices. But that type of collaboration in this environment is necessary, and it's needed more. And doors continue to be shut with rules like this. And I have to admit, I was very surprised at the rules. I'm not quite sure what they're trying to do here, but I was very disappointed.
Ruben Gomez's story on federalnewsradio.com says the rule would require DHS employees to obtain approval before taking on certain jobs and activities outside of the government, including services offered as an officer, employee, consultant, teacher, or speaker. The proposal would task the DHS Inspector General with drafting procedures for obtaining prior approval. There's no specification in there either about participating in any activities as a paid member of whatever organization. So you're right, that does leave it open to interpretation as to whether somebody from the agency could appear as a speaker at one of the kinds of events that you talked about, or even show up just to learn from the program.
Right. I mean, the rule seems to be amorphous, and hopefully more guidance will be forthcoming. But what I fear, and what I've talked to you, a couple of folks at DHS, is that when they try to do these engagements and they're invited, you know, do they have to get written authorization? You know, it's just a type of fear factor where a lot of people aren't just going to bother just because, you know, there's a perception of some type of ethical issue or giving someone preference, which is obviously not the case. Because certainly DHS needs to collaborate with industry and learn from industry so we can improve IT performance and improve government management overall, especially at DHS. So it's a learning opportunity on both sides of the fence. But a lot of senior leaders that I've spoken to already at DHS seem to think that, and also just some program managers and folks that attend these conferences more for education purposes, you know, they're kind of looking at each other like, well, I guess we can't go anymore because now we have to get written permission, or if there's no guidance forthcoming, you know, it's not worth it. And it's unfortunate guidance like this and rules, which certainly have these unintended consequences that really need to be thought clearly, and they need to provide more guidance simply because we just cannot allow that to happen.
The phrase when I first saw you posting about this on Facebook that came to my mind was just hassle factor, where somebody says, this is not worth the effort. I'd like to participate, but I've got to do this and that and the third thing, and it's just not worth it.
Right, and that, you know, that's certainly going to be the perception because you need to also take a look at the fact that they want to drop the $25 gift level down to zero. And a lot of the conferences and trade shows have registration for government participants, you know, for $0 because they want government participation because it's vital, certainly at DHS. So where does that leave registrants? Where does that leave these organizations that depend on this collaboration for its membership and its activities? You know, if you take a look at one of the premier events for industry collaboration is the Executive Leadership Conference with ACT-IAC that just was completed. You know, is DHS going to be able to participate in such an important function? I mean, those are the types of questions that are being asked for these types of rules that are being proposed.
What do you think is a fair balance? What is your vision for how this would look? Or is the way that things stand right now, you think, okay in your mind?
Well, I mean, I certainly would like guidance. If they're going to propose issues with ethics, I would like them just to focus on the ethics and the reasoning. Certainly, if you look at the rules, I mean, it just says other activities, and it has a little bit of information about, you know, not-for-profits and organizations such as that, but there's absolutely no information about industry government collaboration, which is really the scare and what needs to be more proactive. And I'm really looking forward to working with OMB and OFPP and helping with those types of vendor communications that I do through ACT-IACT, because I would like to see the guidance in the other direction saying that industry-government collaboration is encouraged. And here's the types of things that you need to do as a government employee to make sure that you don't breach any ethical violations. That way that there's, it's more proactive, that the guidance is there so that employees are encouraged to attend these types of events, which are certainly good for industry, but in my opinion, they're better for government so they can keep up to date on technologies, continue to speak with innovations, develop better requirements, and hopefully get better outcomes. I mean, that's why we do these things, and this types of rules seem to be taking a step backward.